ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all. No!
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Here I am!
Aw, yeah.
Hey.
I'm all hopped up on my drugs, ready to go.
It is Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Mateo.
Hey.
Pastor Nate Heitzig.
Disclaimer, I am not really hopped up on drugs.
Good. It's good.
Disclaimer,
I
am.
Sudafed,
hey.
Or...
No, maybe some. I took some ibuprofen last night. That's
so you
it.
Are.
Oh man,
and a liar,
dude. I'm gonna go on a drug rampage and just start doing things.
Man, Brody was hopped up on ibuprofen last night. Woke up with a fever again.
Oh, little buddy.
I know.
He woke up and he was like, it was weird.
Your face was the worst part. It was like, yeah, I kind of look like that. Kind of look like that.
Yeah.
So I woke up at midnight, yeah, fever. So I was like, man, today's going to be fun. I'm going to say stupid things. So
dude.
I'm on like 2 hours of sleep.
That's different than normal?
Yeah.
No, we said some stupid stuff.
Yeah.
We talked about genie racism.
That really,
we did.
That really
we
hurts
did.
To slap your
yeah,
veins like
does.
That.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I couldn't get past that part if I was a drug addict. I'm like, I can't just get past the slapping of the veins.
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good thing. It is Shock Therapy Live, your one-hour call-in show. We are focused on you and what's going on in your world, and we'd love to hang out with you.
What I'm focused on is this racist genius. I want to hear more about that.
Yeah, we will definitely talk about that if the phone lines are slow today. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, studio at mystaticradio.com. That's your email address if you'd like to chime in. Now, I will say on air, we've got a few... email questions about World Vision and what's going on with World Vision, and we thought we would save that because it feels more theological implications of
a business.
Well,
that's the way they put it.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's exactly the way they put it. Mm-hmm. And so we are definitely not skirting that. We're going to talk about that, but I don't know. It's more of business policies and...
It might be a good idea to talk about that in Theology Thursday first and then discuss some of the more like... practical social
personal,
implications like next week.
Yeah.
Well, this is the thing. We've probably talked about homosexuality and what's right and wrong on that on Shock Therapy Live probably more than any other question.
Probably.
True.
You know, it's been that or probably like Christians drinking.
Yeah.
Like probably the two biggest questions. Or movies. We've gotten a lot of movies,
tattoos.
Like shows, like in Christian. We've gotten some questions a lot.
Yeah.
But you know,
masturbation.
That was last week. Man, last week we covered like all of those.
No, yeah. No. We really did.
And I'm sitting over here going, man,
just
these
go
guys.
Listen to the podcast last week. We're out.
Yeah.
No? Okay, let's take a phone call. Line
1. Oh, we have already.
505-338-3700. That is the phone number. It's 505-338-3700. And welcome to the show.
Hello, you're on Heavy Metal Live. What's up?
Yo, what up, fellas?
How's it going?
Hello.
Good, how you guys doing?
You're on with Dave Grohl.
Sweet.
What's your song request?
I got a question about tattoos. No, not really.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Go get one on your face.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
Pentagram.
First off, I would like to thank Mateo for his traffic report yesterday. I got me a free ladder.
Booyah! Nice,
no,
dude.
No, not really.
Oh, gosh. You are just full of jokes.
Did a ladder fall off?
Ladder was in the roadway yesterday.
Yeah.
So we're like, ladder
we
on the
we got like a little traffic thing said, ladder on roadway.
Yeah, that's an expensive ladder.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
That's
Hey. Man. Okay, now when you ask, it's like the boy who cried wolf. When you ask a question now, we're not going to believe you. So
Right.
We're going to laugh at whatever you say next.
It's going to be a good life lesson on not doing what you
understand that you get a free laugh, right? Whatever you say now, we're going to laugh at you.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, this is for real.
I didn't even say anything yet.
No, he said this is for real. I told him whatever he said next,
okay.
I was going to laugh at.
There you go.
Okay.
I've been wanting to call in, I don't know, it was a couple weeks back. I was wanting to call in and kind of talk to Mateo about, you know, where God guides us. As far as him moving from Tennessee downhill, down here to the Styx of Albuquerque.
Yeah.
And how God influenced that, because this is a jet camp in Rio. I just got another job, and I was real confused on where God was leading me and my family. A few weeks ago, we decided that we were going to start tithing. Mm. And we made that commitment. We put that check in the offering plate, and prayed about it. The following day, I got an email back from this company that I was wanting to work for a long time. Invited me to a couple interviews, this and that. God has been so great, blessing me and my family. He has just opened the door to my wife's previous job, where we were hoping that she would get back in, and didn't seem like it was going to work out. But this morning she was offered a job back, and they're going to be flexible, and it's going to be great. And it's all due to God's glory.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
But I was seeking out this information from Mateo a couple weeks ago, but I never called in.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that, maybe Mateo is a lot better with words than I am, that's for sure.
That's the first time anybody's ever said that.
Yeah, for real.
Here's the thing, but Mateo's not actually allowed to answer questions.
Yeah
he's not even on the.
I just kind of sit in.
He's the face.
Imaging. I just sit in.
He's the face. We literally, all of our Shock Therapy live promo, we're changing. It's just Mateo's face. We're not on there. It's just Mateo smiling.
I've got a pretty good look on the face, though.
It really does.
It's a look of wonderment.
So, is it really a question, or what do you?
I think it is how do you tell God's direction or leading?
Direction? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. How do you know when God is pushing you or shoving you in a direction that you need to be in?
That's awesome. Right. Mateo.
Well, for me it's always been, if it was something I didn't want to do, I knew it was the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Try that with my wife.
Oh man.
I think
she tries it with me every now and then too.
Oh no. I think for me for a long time, especially in Waverly, when Dave and I started the band, it kind of set a precedent in my life, if you will. We always just prayed that God would be, he would give us a clear answer. And we would know, that's the only thing we asked for. It was this is what we want to do with the band. We want to make it. We want to do all these fantastic things. But we just prayed that God would always give us a clear direction, and that we would know that's exactly what we needed to do.
You prayed for one direction.
Yes, we did. And Harry looks great today. I'm glad we prayed
for
him.
That's why you have a Harry Styles tattoo on your lower back.
I know, it's weird. Yeah. They say it's a tramp stamp, but I disagree. It just felt different at the time. Anyway, so that's always been my prayer since, back in college. And I've always kind of looked at things a little differently when it comes, because I know when I was in high school, I was obsessed with figuring out God's will, obsessed with it to an unhealthy degree.
Yeah.
Because I knew, I was like, I'm called into ministry, so that means I need to go to certain schools, and I need to meet a girl, and I need to get married as soon as possible and have a whole litter of kids and work at a church and do this and that and this and that. And then through various life experiences and all that, I just learned that just because God calls you into ministry, it doesn't necessarily mean, that there's a formula that the preacher formula is for you, or that the youth minister formula is for you, or that even the foreign missionary formula is for you. And a lot of times I would just always equate God's will to a straight line. And if I strayed off of that line, then I was going to be lost and I would have to journey back to that line. But then I figured out a lot of times God's will is like a river, and a river breaks off into creeks and branches and tributaries. And those things, it's like when you come to a fork in the road, if I would have chosen, at one point I had to decide where I was going to go to college. Was I going to go to Union University, continue with my studies, and then move on to seminary? Or was I going to stay at our community college and keep going with the band and see where that took? And it just, through a lot of prayer, it was like God was saying, hey, neither one of these is the wrong decision. Either way, you've committed your life to me, and either way, it's going to be for my glory. You just need to pick which one you want to do.
It's good. Yeah.
And I went with the band because obviously that's the cooler option. But moving out here was kind of a different animal because Waverly broke up, and this is fast forward to 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, because, man, we've been praying for some time.
Yeah.
There was a point in time where you and I had been praying, Lord, if this is your will, make it happen. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen.
This
wasn't the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Waverly broke up, and then I started playing with House of Heroes, and there was just this day. It was weird. I was thinking, man, bands do not last forever. I need to figure out what I'm going to do, because I'm married now. We want to have a family. You know, bands don't last forever. I need to figure out what I'm going to do. And that day I thought it would be awesome if I could ever get a job like doing radio, just because I talk and I never shut up. And, you know, that it would just be fun, because the thing that I've loved the most, like my favorite thing in the world, is to make people laugh. Ever since I was a little kid, that is my favorite thing to do, is just try to make people laugh. That is like, if I can make someone laugh, then I have reached my personal goal for the day for me. You know, like in a, not like in some grand scheme level of, and all that, just for me. Like that's what I love to do so much. And, I like the next, it was weird. I just kind of was like, Lord, please help. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And it was the next day, Steve-O called and said, hey, I want you to just start praying about something, because I think we might have a position opening up at the radio station, and you should just pray about it. And for me, that was like, okay, that's God stepping in and saying, this is probably going to be a direction. But it took a long time, because then months later, like Steve-O said, it looked like it was not going to happen. And I had pretty much given up on the thing. It was like, well, I'll just continue playing with House Heroes and try to figure out something else. Maybe I can work at a label, or maybe I can do something here in town. And then it all changed. Early 2013, things started happening. And it was like, dude, you need to start praying more and more and more and more and more. And you and Dawn need to seriously start considering this. And it was tough. It was not an easy decision, despite all of that, because Dawn's band is in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, and she, like, they are moving. They are moving forward. They are committed to touring and all that stuff. So we definitely had to pray about it. But then once it did happen, it was like you couldn't stop it from happening. And that's the thing that has always been the big indicator. And I'm super blessed, because some people would say that that hasn't happened in their life, that God hasn't moved in that way. But, you know, and I'm not saying it because I don't have the magic formula for why that happens.
Right.
I just know that once it starts happening, anytime it's happened in my life, once something that God had going for me started happening, there was nothing I could do to stop it.
But you were faithful. But you were faithful to go, all right, I'm stepping out, and Lord, this. And then, and after you made a decision and stepped out in faith, was when it began to come together.
But you know, I think at the same time, you do have the secret formula, because you kind of said it before when you said about why you joined Waverly, is that you were kind of at this place where you're like, man, I could do both, and both are probably going to be good. And you're at this place, and I think this is, you know, John Corson told me the best thing ever. I've said it before on the show about the will of God. I was in high school, same thing. It's like high school, you want to know the will of God, like what college do I go to? Obviously Point Loma's better than UCLA because it's Christian, and like you have this some weird view. And he whispered in my ear, like, it was kind of creepy, like, I'm graduating. He's like, hey.
Oh, dude.
No, so he's on stage and he says, hey, I want to tell you a secret. And I was like, what? He's like, do you want to know the will of God? Do you want to know the will of God?
John Corson.
He said, the will of God for your life is to eat a lot of pasta. No. Wow. He said, this is what he said. He said, this is the will of God for your life.
No, come on, you have to do it in Godfather voice, the whole thing. It makes it so much more powerful.
This is the will of God for your life. Love God with all your heart, your soul, and in your mind, and do whatever you want to.
Boom! That's really what he said.
Yeah, he literally said that, not in the Godfather voice. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think he just ninja'd my brain. Like, what did he just do?
Right.
And I mean, it's such a true concept. If you truly love God with your entire being, then what you want to do is going to be the will of God for your life, because the desires that you're going to have are going to be godly desires.
Yeah.
And so I love that. Sometimes there's not a wrong decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes going and playing with a band and going and doing something else, either one could have worked out, and you could have still been in the will of God, and you could have still served God. But guess what? God delights in bringing us joy and bringing us happiness. And so sometimes the decision that you're going to make isn't like, well, this school is Christian and this school isn't, so the Christian one's obviously going to be more in the will of God. No, sometimes God's going to give you two paths, and both are going to be within his will, and you just have to choose one.
And it's frustrating as all get out, because you just want him to go, this one. This
one. Now, to the same token, palm readers and astrology help also.
Yeah, amen. so be it. No, the thing though, if I wouldn't have done the band thing, I would not be here today.
You really wouldn't, because we never would have met. We
never would have met.
Yeah.
I never would have been graced with the presence of Nate Heitzig, which would have been a huge letdown.
And you know what the funny thing is, we talk about this, but there was a time where, you know, my co-host some years ago, he left, and I needed a co-host, and you were my call. It's like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, and I was like, no.
And I'm like, but will you just pray about it? And maybe just, you know.
It was one of those things where I was like, no, not right now.
Yeah,
I just don't think so. It was totally like, no, I'm not supposed to do anything else right now.
And I was discouraged because it was like, oh, man, I love this guy. I want him to be here. I feel like it'd be a great fit. Lord, you know better than me. Bring somebody cool. And that's when we hired Mitch. Mm-hmm. And she's been incredible. And so you never know. Like, God worked it all out. If I had had my way, I don't know what the station would look like.
Wait,
but thankfully, God's cooler than me.
Mitch was my fault.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, gosh, everyone, public apology. No, I'm kidding. But that's an example of what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's not, because I think when I was a kid, I was just so obsessed with knowing the perfect minute to minute, like decimal point will of God.
Yeah.
That it was like, if I didn't get it right, then I was going to upset the will of God. And there's a flaw in there. And that there's an inherent flaw in that thinking, is that if I don't make the right decision, then I am going to dislodge God from being God because of my choice.
Right.
And what that is, it's like a backwards idol worship, because you're making yourself into God. Your decision, even to follow his will, is so important that the universe hinges on whether or not you get it right. That's not grace. That is not the grace of God.
Right.
And I'm so blessed to be able to say that, you know, it did happen. I did get to come out here. God provided for it to happen. He's still providing, and we're still having to rely on him.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that happens, it's not always going to be easy, because us moving out here, Dawn is out here and she's constantly having to fly back to Nashville because her band is still going, and we're totally in. We are in for that thing. So we're having to work to make that happen, but God is still providing for us.
Yep.
So it's just kind of like that with you. You practiced obedience by tithing, and I don't think that's why God said, okay, you did this, so now you get all these riches. But I think you see the blessing that's happened with your obedience.
Yeah.
And it's just like what Nate said. Sometimes that obedience isn't just like one thing. And we just need to remember that in grace, you know, God's going to get glorified no matter what.
Yeah.
And we're very blessed to be able to be a part of it.
Absolutely. Does that help you out, man?
Man, it was awesome. I'm glad that you guys shared some insight on that. I hope that, you know, it helps other people other than just myself. I'm sure it will, because, you know, you guys is, wisdom is awesome. But yeah, I think it was, you know, putting our full trust in the Lord that, you know, he's going to do something great.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Yeah.
He is faithful.
He is. And he will provide.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right on, man.
Right on. I appreciate it, guys. Love you.
Absolutely. Love you too, bro.
Hey, I'm just going to give you one more thing, because I think this is a cool passage. I've always loved this passage on the will of God. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, and it says in verse 16, "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil." You know, we really get down to it, of what the specific will of God is. That's the specific will of God. And I love that part of that, within that will of God, is to rejoice always. In everything give thanks. Be joyful wherever you're at. Because a lot of times people will get into a situation that will say, man, I'm in this situation. This cannot be the will of God for my life. No, the will of God for your life is in that situation to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, to give thanksgiving for where you're at in that moment. That's the will of God for your life.
Yeah.
So wherever you're at, understand that even though it might not be according to your will, it might be in accordance with God's will. And whatever the situation is that you're in, give thanks to God, pray without ceasing, and rejoice in him, and trust that he's going to bring you through that season.
Amen. Absolutely. Man, thank you. Thank you again, Jet Sky and Rio. Woo! You were awesome. All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Man, to go along with what you were saying, Teo, it can be scary thinking that if you picked this one certain way and it didn't go right, mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden you're outside of the will of God and that was a bad choice. I have seen many marriages fail on that note. Well, we were too young, or we did it because of this, because we wanted to have sex, or because this happened and there's these outside circumstances. So that's why we got married. That must not have been God's will, because we were in sin, and so therefore let's just get a divorce and I'm going to start fresh, and this time, maybe this time I'll get the will of God right. And man, it's scary to think in those terms, because those things can creep up and can happen.
Because the scary part about that too, in that kind of a situation, is you're actually defying the specific will of God as written in the Word.
Right.
If you're in a relationship and you're in a marriage, it doesn't matter where it was started. God's will for you once you're married is that you would stay married.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible even says if you're an unbelieving husband, you've got a believing wife, that the will of God for that believing wife is that, you know, through the belief of the wife, it would bring the husband to repentance. The will of God is for you to stay married. So sometimes we will look at God's intangible or unspoken will, and we'll defy God's spoken will in hopes of the unspoken will.
Yeah.
Like, man, I think God's unspoken will for my life is this, so I'm going to defy His written will that He has written down in His Word that I can actually see in hopes of this unspoken will.
And we've talked about this too. People who are quote-unquote called into ministry, and the husband's like, I'm going to start a church, and the wife's like, I don't feel the same way. We don't have this. Well, then that must not be, you must not be in line with the will of God. I just got to get a divorce, and then I'm going to start over with the wife who does want to be. And man, because it's, if you've said it many a times, if you're called and your wife is not called, then you're not called, and you need to start. Man, we could go down a slippery slope.
It does make you wonder how many, because just like, I know it's a different situation, but just as in how, you know, you called me and said, hey, do you want to come out here and work? And I was like, it's not for me right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not for me. But then later, it was.
Yeah.
You wonder about how many marriages might have been saved if the people would have kind of stuck it out.
Right.
You never know. And I know there are also situations where you have, like, abusive people.
Right.
And you have, like, crazy, crazy situations, you know, that
right, there are biblical
precedents
reasons
for
why
those.
Yes, absolutely. So we're definitely not going against that.
You know, Paul says, When Paul's talking, because this is the thing, it really gets down to it. That's why I said, if you're really loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and following His commandments, you're naturally going to do the will of God because of the desires you have. So this is what it boils down to. You know, if you really want to know the will of God, Paul says, this is the will of God for your life, that you would be sanctified. Mm-hmm. That's the will of God for your life. Look, God doesn't care what college you go to. God doesn't care where
but
you get a job
was
at.
A good idea.
You know, God doesn't care what burrito you eat after church. Some people like hyper spiritual, like, where does God want me to eat? You know, this food, God said this food's good, so I'm going to eat this food. God doesn't care about that. What God cares is that you are sanctified. And if you are truly in a process of sanctification, honoring His word, honoring His spoken will, if you live your life by those principles of honoring your mother and father, of honoring your wife, of honoring those who work above you, you know, of honoring the people who you're in submission to, of submitting to the government, of submitting to the authorities. You know, if you live your life by the book that God has written, by the words of God, if you live your life by that, then the things you are going to want to do will naturally be the will of God for your life.
This is perfect, because this goes right into line two. We got a phone call. It's a question about substance use, the law of the land versus the laws of God. So let's dig into this. Line two, hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I could have used an extra 28 hours of sleep, but I can't complain.
Hey, I agree.
Oh, man.
You could have used an extra 28 hours of sleep.
So, question about substance use, I see.
Yeah. A while back, myself and my guitarist had, well, actually the whole band, I should say, we got into a conversation. We had mentioned a girl who is extremely religious, does a lot in her church, but also is a very avid pot smoker. Mm-hmm. And he, with a very disgusted look, was like, that's so contradictory. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
And so we were all kind of talking and we were saying, well, how is it that someone could be, avid in their church and, you know, but at the same time drink alcohol? Simply his argument was, well, alcohol's legal. Pot's not. Like, yeah, but alcohol's worse. You know, this is not like a pot versus alcohol conversation.
Right.
It was just because the government says
something's okay doesn't necessarily mean that it's always okay.
Yeah.
And so I was like, but what if the government said that it's not okay to practice in your faith? So at that point in time, are you saying that we should still abide by everything the government says?
Well, this is a thing. The government doesn't say you have to smoke pot.
Yeah, and that his argument immediately had holes because it was like, if you, that's he's right but wrong because that was the wrong angle to take.
Yeah, you know, so there's certain things that the government will permit, but that doesn't mean it's right. The government permits that you can murder people inside the womb.
Yeah,
that doesn't make it right.
Right.
But the government doesn't say if you have a baby, you have to murder your baby inside the womb.
Right.
This is the thing: we obey the authorities that are over us up until the point where if we obey them, it supersedes God's will. So if the government ever comes right out and says, you can no longer pray, you can no longer read your Bible, that's a point where we say, okay, I'm going to disobey the government because if I obey the government, it would cause me to disobey God.
Yeah.
So we obey the authorities up until the point that they cause us to disobey God. So if the government ever comes out and says, okay, April 21st is National Get Drunk Day. Everybody has to get drunk.
It's the day after Easter.
It's like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that because that's superseding God's will. That's superseding God's law. So, you know, when we talk about the medicinal marijuana, we can go a little deeper there. And there's, you know, again, even holes within that. People say, well, if marijuana is legal, then it's okay.
Colorado.
Well,
we have friends right now who we have been talking to about this very thing because believers who go to Colorado get high, come back, and it's like, praise Jesus.
We've talked about that, and people say, well, it's the same, you know, it's legal, so it's like alcohol. This is the difference. You can drink a beer and not be drunk. You can't smoke a bong and not be high.
Yeah,
you know, if you take a hit of the bong, you're gonna feel high, and that's that altering. You know, we don't want to be controlled by any substance or get our joy from any substance besides God, besides the Holy Spirit. So, you know, there's just huge differences within that. But as far as the government issue goes, you know, it really boils down to what I said before, is that we obey the government up until the point that it causes us to disobey God.
I would give you a great resource, skipheitzig.com. It's a great website, and your dad did an entire series, the I Dare You series, that came from the book of Daniel, and he had a few messages on this very thing, because Daniel and his bros refused to obey the laws of the land, if you will, because they were dishonoring to God. So,
does that answer your question?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that hit it pretty good. I mean, it's one of those things where, well, I personally, I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't approve of it. I hardly even take medicine for headaches. But there was one piece of advice that was given to me from my mom where she made the comment of, nothing in this world is bad, it's a matter of how you use it, as long as you don't abuse it. Well, I mean, I guess not nothing, but like, for the most part, like,
except for meth.
If you're smart about it and you don't cross any limits, then no, it's just a matter of how you use it. So that was one of the arguments you tried making with him, and it was like talking to a wall.
I'm taking meth for my glaucoma. It's for my glaucoma.
Dude, yeah, that's always bad. Don't do meth. Don't do meth. Yeah, sadly, this issue is just going to get, we're going to have to talk about it more and more and more because, you know, with the legalization in Colorado and Washington, other states aren't too far behind. You know, we had a Fox News analyst on to talk about this with us, the legalization of this and what it meant for our nation. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about it sociologically, but spiritually speaking, I, as a former pot-smoking weed dude, I can say with all clarity that you're right, there's no way that you can just like hit a joint and say, yeah, no, I'm cool. It alters your being. It alters your state. And that's something that we can't. And somebody can have a beer around me just fine. I'm not going to get drunk off of somebody else having a beer in front of me. You can't smoke a bowl in front of somebody and them not feel a little contact high. You know what I mean? Because it is of the air. I've been to plenty of Dave Matthews shows where it's like, all right, honey, we got to move because these guys are smoking weed.
We got to move closer. Where are they?
Shut up! You're dismantling everything!
No, there's an app for that now. Pot Cloud app.
Hope that helps you, man. Hope that helps you.
You guys did great. And, hey, by the way, y'all are awesome.
Hey.
You are too. Hey.
You too.
Go get some sleep.
Thank you. Yeah. Like 28 hours.
Go get some sleep.
Oh, man. Static!
Hey, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good, pretty good. Just driving, you know.
Awesome.
But I'm on a headless. It's on the overhead.
Obeying the laws of the land.
Hey.
And,
yeah.
At the same time. That's
hey.
Right.
Hey.
Yeah,
perfect
girl.
Example.
Where are you driving to?
I'm actually just doing deliveries, man. Just delivering and doing God's work.
Are you delivering Bibles?
There you go.
I deliver auto parts to
are they Christian
stops.
Auto parts?
Stop
yeah.
it right now.
I just want to make sure.
Gosh, you got your
I'm
totally.
Do they have the Holy Spirit?
Continuing
is really what
that
we're asking.
Awful stereotype. Here's the thing. Does your car have a Jesus fish on it while you're making deliveries?
Come on.
Maybe not of the
as long as you're not listening. As long as you're not listening
cool,
to Cake.
I have a Satan cool little Jesus bobblehead.
Boom, Jesus bobblehead. There you go. Good enough.
Good car right
it's
no,
Jesus
so
bobblehead
my question was, so my question was that you guys were hitting on the topic earlier, like when you guys were talking about Mateo, like, you know, moving over here and you know how it's kind of like, it just really hit home for me for some reason, dude, because I was like, in me, it's kind of like the reverse. It's not moving anywhere, but I've been hearing the last 3 weeks, I've been, you know, really in deep thought and prayer about whether I should take certain positions or should I make this right choice and promotions and stuff like that. But the last 3 weeks, I've been hearing something to where they say, you know, hey, well, God, you know, will bless you with those positions, or God will bless you with those kind of things. But also, you know, you got to remember that Satan can appoint you and bless you in those areas too. But I guess since that's been like really heavy because a decision I've been trying to hold back on making, it's kind of like, well, I get the discernment part. I get the be in prayer part. But it's like, even if, though, you know, if that's possible, dude, like, how am I going to know if it's the right? I'd already be in the
easy.
Situation
this
before
so
I find
easy.
Out it's the right decision.
Yeah.
This is so easy because it falls in exactly in line with what we were talking about before. If you're in a process of sanctification and you're honoring what the Bible says, Satan is not going to want to bless that. So if you're honoring, now if you're living in sin, if you're living in like blatant sin, you're doing horrible things, you know, you're not in the process of sanctification, you're in the process of divorcing your wife, you're having sex with other people, and then like you get this blessing, well, there's a big question. Well, maybe that wasn't from God. Maybe that was from Satan, you know? Maybe that was Satan, you know, giving me, you know, something. But, you know, if you're in a process of sanctification, again, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, Satan isn't going to want to reward that. Yeah. Satan isn't going to want to look at that and say, oh man, I really want to try this, you know, get that. They're doing the things exactly the way they're supposed to. You know, that's going to be a blessing of God as you walk through those doors. Now, if you're making a decision that is blatantly an unrighteous decision, so if you're like, man, I'm living a really, really righteous life, but there's this one thing that I really want to do. And, you know, if that one thing that you really want to do is against the will of God, like I'm making this decision, I'm really, really praying about divorcing my wife. And then you divorce your wife and you get a big blessing. You know, then there could be a question there. Man, was that Satan utilizing the resources that he has as the ruler of this age, as the prince of this, prince of the world? Or was that God blessing me? You know, so, but again, I think as long as you're following the will of God, as long as you are, loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you're allowing the sanctification process to take place in your life, the blessings that you're going to experience are going to be blessings from God. Mm-hmm. And I would say that the hardships you experience, or the times where temptation falls or things come into your life, those pitfalls, I would say that would be Satan, because he's trying to get you off the track of following God.
Does that help you?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I just, like, the situation, just to be upfront and honest with you guys, like, the situation is really just like, you know, I'm holding out because I believe God's going to bless me in my job I have now. I'm being faithful because, you know, I was praying for the job a couple years back and I got it. And then now it's kind of stagnant. Like, I do everything I can do to go above and beyond and to be a good worker. Like I said, you know, I'm shooting over across town and still calling in, but it's like no one's late for their part. No one's late for anything. I work hard, and it's like I'm waiting for that raise, and they're telling me it's coming, you're going to get it. But it was like, that was like a year ago. Mm. Well, now another position in another state's opened up to where they're like making it sound like it's this amazing deal, like it's this amazing opportunity. But it's like, well, God, you haven't called me to move anywhere, but this opportunity has presented itself to, like, am I going to miss, is it something that's like, am I going to miss out on that, or am I going to be blessed in this job for being faithful and staying faithful where I'm at? Mm. Or do I go to the other state and say, okay, God, you know what? This is from you. I know that, you know, I don't know. It's just, it seems like up there, it, you know, in the other state, it's like the cost of living is cheaper. It's in Arizona. So the cost of living is cheaper there. It's $3-4 more raise than what I'm making now, just to start, full benefits. So it seems like, oh, wow, this is an amazing opportunity, but am I to relocate?
So,
it's like, I
so,
feel
so
like
let me ask you this.
Is
there anything, is there anything unrighteous? Is there anything that would be, you know, against what the Bible says about taking this position?
No, just as so far as breaking ties with it. Like, I'm involved in my church. We have our home church. We're in, you know, I'm making steps to be a part of the ministry there.
Would you plan?
Albuquerque's always been my home.
Would you plan on going to a church once you're in Arizona?
I would, but it's like hard, dude, because I love my home church. Like, I don't, it's like, man, yeah, I would definitely have to be plugged into another church.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, man.
So that's why I say,
like, I don't want to miss out on a blessing of movement here to go somewhere else just because of money.
So you're hiding and burying your talent is what you're telling me. Sorry.
I guess. Yeah,
You're petrified because you're worried about what could potentially happen here, so you're not willing to accept something somewhere else that could be amazing.
Yes, exactly.
So if something amazing were to happen here, how would you even know about it? Because you might just be standing there wondering if maybe you shouldn't do that thing here, because what if in the future something else here could be better? I don't know. I'm playing devil's advocate here, because it just sounds like, it doesn't sound like this is something where it's like, man, I don't know. I got this possible job opportunity in Arizona.
Is it Satan?
It's a meth dealer. I'm
it's
a meth
Satan.
Dealer. But,
yeah, dude, yeah.
So, I mean, there's nothing weird about, like, you know what I mean? I'm waiting for
I got
for
this
it to
job
be, like,
offer,
weird.
But this guy has a very interesting pointy goatee that looks very much like pictures of Satan that
yeah,
I've
he
seen.
Wants me to be a pimp. But the,
no,
man,
no, nothing
thanks
like
to Obamacare. Man,
he made me feel very uncomfortable when I was there
for
the interview.
Hey, man, I think you should just pray that God will give you a clear direction.
Yeah.
Because obviously neither option is the wrong one. Now, do you have a family?
I do. It's me, my wife, and the son.
Okay,
much.
Well, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, you
like
just
something,
brought in like some different perspectives.
Yeah, like the whole thing for me, Dawn and I don't have any children. If there was ever a time in our lives to take a step and move states away, this was the time to do it. Because we don't have anything grounding us here. And when you have children, you know, when you have, like, if you're taking care of a parent or a grandparent, if you have things that have you grounded, then that's when the real conflict comes
in. Which is why we're really
praying
that
Dawn gets
pregnant here. So if anybody has any tips or
tricks. Well, if she gets pregnant in Nashville, I'll be pretty disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But
just
man.
On that note, too, I remember when we moved to California. I remember before we moved to California, my mom and dad sat down with me and they said, hey, we're thinking about moving to California. What do you think? Do you want to do that? And they said, if you don't want to do it, if you say adamantly you really love it here, then we're going to stay here. Mm. You know what I mean? And they had a conversation with me about it. And it was so cool because we all went out there and we all went out there with the same heart. So I think it's a good thing to sit down with your wife and your son and have a conversation and say, obviously, depending on how old your son is, if he's like 2 years old, like,
no, I just want to watch Teletubbies.
We're going to spin the globe wherever your index finger lands.
Where do you want to live?
I want to watch Mickey.
But where do you want to live in Arizona or New Mexico?
Disney.
Okay.
We're moving to Disney World.
However, Arizona is closer to Disneyland, so if your kid says that, then maybe that's the
closer
step
to Disneyland, and also a little bit closer to hell because of how
hot it is. That's what I was going to say. Amen.
My mom and sister live there. It's not that bad.
Got bad news for you, Steven.
That's what everyone in Arizona says. Everyone who lives in Arizona, it's not that bad. You get you adjust to the dry heat.
Yeah.
It's not so bad.
I don't want to go there either.
Guess what? A frog adjusts to boiling to death in water.
It's like, hey, it's not so bad. Hang on, my shoe's stuck to the pavement. Hang on, it melted.
Yeah.
Which I've seen.
Man, before. Hope that helps you through all of our idiocies.
No, dude, it really does. I just really, like you said, man, I got it.
All right, there you go.
That's cool.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks for the call.
I mean, that's what Christianity is, man. It's either God or the devil in every decision you make, right? That's grace, man.
Man. 505-338-3700
at Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig in with Mateo and myself, and got a call. Hello.
Hello. Hello?
Hello.
Hey.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
Going well.
Oh, nice. So I've got a question that's kind of, I guess, been on my mind. I'm kind of talking about, have you heard of, like, NA and Alcoholics Anonymous?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a 12-step program, and there's parallels. I go to a church called Celebrate Recovery, and there's parallels for each step to the Bible. And, you know, I know it's God's will for people to stop doing drugs. I know it's God's will for people to get clean. But my question is, I find it kind of interesting that, you know, God created the heavens and the earth, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, plants and certain things that have turned into man-made, synthesized things that, you know, destroy people's lives. Mm-hmm. God created the heavens and the earth, so I'm thinking, you know, NA and the 12-step program didn't come about until late in the 19th century. Is that like God's compensation? Like, oh crap! Like this is getting out of hand. Huh. How can I reach the people that are addicted to drugs that will never go into a church? Because a lot of people that they don't go to church, they just go to meetings and they call it a higher power, and it's like their way of relying on God or praying. You know, they pray to their higher power, but it's like God's compensation. Like, wow, this is really getting out of hand. Maybe I should make a program for people.
God's compensation was destroying the earth.
Well, I was going to say,
oh crap, this is getting out of hand. I'm going to kill them all.
If you go back to the book of Genesis, to be honest, that's totally real because, it talks about whether you go through Exodus where, you know, in that time period, there were so many warnings about sorcery, witchcraft.
Right.
And that, at the time, that's how they worshiped their gods, was through these mind-altering drugs. Correct me if I'm wrong, where we get our word pharmacy from? Pharmakeia?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Sorcery.
Yeah, and so because of that, it's not, I definitely don't think it was a new thing to where in the 19th century they were like, oh crap, drug abuse is bad now. I think it's always been bad. And, scriptures warned over and over and over. Now there's just different ways or methods to go about helping people through it. I don't know that there were methadone clinics. You know,
this is the thing too. Keep in mind when God created the heavens and the earth, he made a perfect world.
Right.
And you know, when we have the fallen world, once Adam and Eve sinned, so we don't know if marijuana, the plant, was in the Garden of Eden, or if that was a byproduct of the fallen world.
Yeah.
You know, because obviously death and obviously disease are all part of the fallen world. That wasn't part of the world that God created.
Right.
Yeah, that
led to sin. The only thing that we read in the Garden of Eden that they weren't supposed to eat of was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, don't eat that.
Right.
Everything else here you can have, but don't eat that.
So I doubt there were poisonous mushrooms in the garden.
Yeah, exactly. I doubt hemlock. No, seriously, you know, it was a perfect place.
Yeah. He said, there's a lot. There's like, I mean, even,
think about hemlock, like poison hemlock. If you eat it, you're going to die.
Yeah.
And God said, eat of everything in the garden. Right. I doubt hemlock was there.
Right, right.
They're just poison. They were supposed to, they're like, this is a poisonous plant. And then people mess with it and they're like, well, it's not that poisonous. You know, it makes me feel okay. And then it makes me feel bad, but it doesn't kill me. Yeah. So they're just like, yeah, they're poisonous plants. It could have been because God gave Satan, you know, a realm on earth. I mean, it's like, well, it's a people's choice, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the point is that when God created the heavens and the earth originally in the perfect Garden of Eden that God created, those plants probably weren't there.
Right.
Right.
That was probably a byproduct of the fallen world.
What was the question?
World.
I'm sorry.
The question was like, okay, because I believe God created everything, and I believe that he created the entire earth and it's designed perfectly, but yeah, then again there's that whole change with when sin came into the world.
Yeah.
But everything in my philosophy, yeah, God created the world and everything's there and everything's in it and everything's still there. But like, yeah, so he put those plants, some of them, there for like, you know, to help like medically and with pain, like moderately, and then all of a sudden, you know, well, they've been abused all the way up to the 19th century, but then you have, you know, street junkies and all this other stuff, mm-hmm. and then AA and Narcotics Anonymous spouts out about 1970 or something. So my question is, did God create those programs with parallels from the 12 steps to Scripture so that to reach people that normally he would have no chance at all to reach?
Here's the thing. God didn't create those programs.
Right.
Some person created those programs. Now, was that person influenced by the Bible? Maybe. Maybe they were influenced by steps in the Bible.
Right.
But God didn't create those programs. Those were human created. You know, yeah. Those were man-made programs.
Yeah.
You know, so when we look at that, God didn't like, okay, like, man, I've got to create a 12-step program because if I don't, these guys are hopeless.
Right.
You know, that wasn't God. That could have been a human being inspired by God, or
yeah.
That could have been a human being that, again, read the scripture and said, man, I think this could really help out.
Yeah.
But God didn't create those programs.
Right.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah, cool. Just that's interesting. It's kind of interesting to me that, there's all that stuff. And, that was just funny. I brought it up at a meeting, actually, God said, I think I need to do something. I need to, but yeah,
well,
you're right.
Like
it's somebody else that did it. They could have been thinking, I'm going to try my best to do God's will.
Right. This is the line of thinking that you gotta understand. It'd be like God saying, man, I really want the Americans to win World War II. So I got to create a hydrogen bomb. So I'm going to create a person, and then that person's going to create the hydrogen bomb because I really want to blow up Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I think that's a really good idea. So I'm going to do that. You're putting God on that bomb. You know what I mean? And so you can't.
Yeah, it's like putting God on the drugs. Yeah, it's just like you're saying, it's like a spiritual war instead of a physical war. And it's like God.
He gave us all free will, and we in turn have chosen to do some great things with it, and we have chosen to do some really idiotic things with it. And so
apart from that, I'm just really happy that there that at this church, it's called Celebrate Recovery.
Yeah,
I'm just really happy that the 12 steps, you know, because I go to the 12 steps, but I'm a Christian, and I'm like, well, it's all higher power, and it's a non-religious program, but I kind of like that edge of God. So when I went to Celebrate Recovery, and they're like, for each step there's a direct scripture that parallels and says almost the exact same thing. I'm like, well, that's kind of nice, you know. At least I can look at it from a biblical perspective.
Yeah.
Now, Celebrate Recovery, God didn't create that, but Celebrate Recovery is a Christian program.
Absolutely.
That people who believe what the Bible said, man, there's a better way to recovery than just the 12-step program.
Yeah, for sure. Right on, man. Thanks for the call.
All right, guys. Later.
All right, man.
Later. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. We have another phone call person, except we're waiting for our producer.
We've had like non-stop.
It's good. Yeah, it's been crazy
fun.
Today. It's been good. Any anonymous email questions? No, everybody's being bold today. All right.
I like that.
Yeah, me
we
too.
We have an email question we didn't answer before, right? Did we answer that email question?
Which one?
The one about the Foothills deal.
Oh, man. We hadn't even talked about that yet.
I don't know if we have time.
I know. Let's get to the phone call. Let's see. Hello, we got about 5 minutes left to show. Welcome.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
Hi, hey.
Oh, hey.
How's it going?
I didn't know you guys were talking to me.
Sorry.
Hey.
We said line one. I'm just kidding.
Well, I guess I still got the, you know, watching the creepy video thing still. So the caller that has called in about NAAA, I want to say that it is because of Narcotics Anonymous that I was able to be introduced to the concept of God.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Awesome.
And, you know, did God create the program? No, but he did create us in his image to be smart and create things and help people and
totally.
Change lives. And
totally.
And stuff, and he uses, you know, my colorful history to bless other people's lives.
Yeah,
totally.
And so, you know, I wanted to say that if it weren't for Narcotics Anonymous, a lot of people, there's no way I could have walked into a church with big organs and those people and all that and been comfortable and willing to share my heart with strangers.
Yeah, dude, it's a solid point.
Yeah.
It really is.
Again, that falls in line with what we were saying before, is that God didn't create these things. He created people, and those people can, again, you can do something in accordance with what the Bible says or in accordance with a worldly view.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Thank you so much for the call.
Oh, thank you.
Right on.
All right.
Cool.
Bye.
Later.
I think that I read a brief history of AA on Wikipedia, so it's probably completely wrong, but it was just talking about how they do say the higher power thing. They do meet in different, they have meeting places, they have churches, they meet in, you know, different types of places. But the reason they go with the higher power is to, so everyone will feel included, because there's been, and there's actually been a lot of agnostic and atheistic like no prayer groups, because they do put a focus on meditation to a quote unquote higher power or God.
Yeah.
But then the precepts come from the Bible.
Yeah.
Like the steps are biblical precepts, or they are based on biblical precepts. I think that, yeah, just like, you know, that's a man-made thing. We don't know if he was trying to honor God with it or whatever, but definitely I believe that God can use it to reach out to people that would never step foot in a church.
And we're going
to
talk about this tomorrow, actually, on Theology Thursday. World Vision is an organization that is a Christian organization. They've made headlines this week, but it's a reminder, because, you know, when we talk about 12-step programs, AA, I've had friends who have gone through the program say, no, bro, it's Christian. And I have to go, no. It's not necessarily Christian. It's amazing that that is how you came to Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. However, that program in and of itself is not a quote-unquote Christian program, because you're right, because it's more of just like a, hey, whatever road you take that leads you to the higher power of God, you know, whether it's Jesus Christ or somebody else, it's cool, because it's, you know, it's you're focusing on something else. And so, yeah, we'll get in depth on those programs that aren't and are, and the implications of that.
Implications.
I guess. Yeah, that's coming up tomorrow. But man, we have like a minute and a half left of show. We did get an email question, and honestly, right away, my thing is I don't know much about what the person who was emailing in with the question. I don't know much about the situation. I don't know much about the story, because the
neither
question was
I.
basically like, hey, did you guys tackle this story in the news right now? But to be fair, I don't know too much about what's going on. I've seen protests in the news. I've seen stuff going on in our city. I know that there was a homeless person that was killed. I don't know all the details behind it, so I don't really
feel like we almost need to talk about it at a later time when we have a chance to
review
it.
Yeah, when we have a chance to really review it and go over what's going on right now, because, so we will email her. We will definitely talk about that probably next week, because, again, we just don't have all the information, all the details about what is what's going down.
It's been a full show, too.
It has, man. So big thanks to everybody who chimed in, who said, hey, need some help with this, and gosh, Teo.
Hey.
Thank you for sharing your story today.
Thanks for letting me sit here.
About, how God moved in your life and God's will, and hopefully that helps some people out there. So.
We shall see.
There you go. If you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, you can catch the podcast at mystaticradio.com/Shock Therapy Live. All of our past shows are there. You got like 20 seconds. Renovate tomorrow?
I don't have anything to say.
What?
I'm done.
RenovateABQ.org. You can find the details there. He's
Stop
done.
It.
He's
Don't
spent.
Talk to me.
Why? He's so sad right now.
I'm done.
Okay. Well, that's it for us. We will see you guys again next week. Theology Thursday tomorrow. We're going to be talking about World Vision and their new stance on hiring and who they will and will not hire, and so much more. Yeah, that's it. We'll catch you on the Reebs.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.